Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to continue there. What do I do with it? We're going to read what's next in chapter 12, and then we're going to go back and just a little review and take a look at what takes place. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. We're going to start right off here and read through the end of the chapter, and then go back and talk about the situation we find here. So, verse 10, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they will say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and maidservants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, She is my sister, so I may have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had." We're going to read a couple of verses into chapter 13. "And Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went and journeyed on, or went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent and had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord." So we see this situation taking place in the life of Abram. Remember, God has called Abram out of the land of his people, away from his family, his relatives, into a new land. And Abram followed that. God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, chapter 12, verse 2, bless you, bless those who bless you, curse those that curse you. We talked about this last week. Abram departed with his wife and Lot and all of their possessions. Remember, we talked about that. This wasn't just four or five people that left. This was a whole massive group of people that traveled out of Haran into the promised land, wherever that was. And again, God had not told Abram where he was going, but he led him on his way to some place that I'm going to lead you. Passed through part of the promised land, stopped in a place called Shechem, built an altar, praised the Lord there. Says the Lord appeared unto him. And again, he says to him in verse 7, "Unto thy seed I will give this land." And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So God has now told him, this is the land that I will give you. So now Abram knows that this is the area that he is to settle in. Verse 8, "And he removed from thence unto a mountain. So he went a little ways to the east to Bethel, pitched his tent, built another altar, and prayed unto the Lord for probably direction. Verse 9, "And Abram sojourned," going south a little bit farther yet. So he's in the promised land where God has sent him. And what happened next? Verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for there's a famine grievous in the land. That makes sense, right? What do you do when there's a famine? You have to get up and move, right? You can't survive there, can you? Well, wait a minute. Are you telling me that everybody in that land where there was famine moved? No. What seems to be happening here is there was a famine in the land. It looks like Abram decided on his own to move to Egypt. We don't see the Lord saying, Abram, you have to move to Egypt. But Abram took a look at the circumstances and said, I have to leave. This is going to be difficult to stay here. I want to read a little paragraph here. Although the Bible doesn't say so specifically, we receive the impression that Abram at this time was living more or less as a nomad, moving his flocks and herds wherever he could to find water and pasture, and wherever the inhabitants of the land were not so numerous. So that makes sense, right? I mean, he's traveling along. He's got this group of people, so they're basically traveling up to this point, like it says, as a nomad. You're just wandering around, looking for places to stay every night, or maybe he travels a little bit and stays for a few days and then travels, whatever it might be. But he's traveling as a nomad. Let's see. Although God had promised him the land as well as the seed to inherit the land, in other words, he was going to have children, which he had. Remember how many at this point? None. At this point, so he had no seed or no children to inherit the land after him, or to build a great nation of, for that matter. He had arrived in the place that God told him, this is the land you're going to inherit. So Abram sees where he's at now. He sees the promise that God has given to him. But we talked about this last week. He doesn't know any of the details in between, or the timing in between. When is this going to happen? When is this going to take place? And we understand where we're at in our Christian lives now. We understand where we are going to wind up in heaven with him, but we don't know what the journey looks like along the way, do we? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or 2 years from now or whatever. God doesn't give us that information. And we're going to see this in the life of Abraham. God has promised in the land as well as a seed and to inherit the land. This was not yet the time for the fulfillment of these promises. Hence, Abram was forced to live by faith. Interesting. That's kind of our situation as well, right? We are forced to live by faith because God has given us the information about what the end is, but not the journey in between, much like Abram. God did nevertheless lead him day to day so that neither he nor those with him lacked daily bread, guidance, and protection. That sound like you? I hope it does. God leads you as you're looking to him for guidance and direction every day as he provides for you. So we see a similarity in Abram's life compared to our life. And then this situation takes place, a famine in the land. And Adam says, I got to find a way out of this. We don't see God saying, go to Egypt. We don't see God leading him there. It seems to be that Adam has decided this on his own. Abram, what did I say? Adam that time? You know what I'm talking about, no matter what I say. Abram decides, I have to deal with this situation in front of me. Could Abram have stayed in the land? Yes. Where did God direct him to?
That land.
This land. There is a circumstance that came up in this land, and we don't see God directly telling, it's not in here, that Abram, you need to leave. So Abram decided, because of the circumstances, I have to get out of here.
As so often happens, when you take matters in your own hands, right.
Yeah, we'll see.
There you got it.
Yeah. Right, we'll see the problems. Now, while we're talking about this circumstance that came up and what Abram decided to do, does God lead through circumstances? Sure. Sure. Sometimes he does. Does God only lead through circumstances?
No.
And I think that's where we have to be careful, that just because a circumstance comes up, God may be leading or directing us. Remember, we talk about, you know, God opens doors and closes doors. Yes, God does lead through circumstances. He also leads through his word and direction that we find within his word. He leads through the counsel of godly individuals that we may seek counsel from. God leads in different ways. But to look at a situation and make a reaction without consulting with what God would desire, you're now stepping outside of God's will for you. And that's kind of what we see Abram doing here. He sees a circumstance. I have to deal with this circumstance. I don't think I can survive. The land that God has promised to me is now not going to support me and this group that I have with me. So I have to do something about that.
Mm-hmm. And then they were defeated enough that they realized, wait a second, our men are dying, and they retreated. And then they found out the reason was because someone put
Yep, there is a problem here. So let's see what what takes place when Abram. Sorry. I've been talking about Adam so long it's stuck on my
I gotta
get my face down here so I can see that name. So, yes.
Just stick with Abraham.
Yeah, there you go. We'll get to Abraham soon enough. So Abram says, I'm going to Egypt. We're taking everybody down there. He looks at the situation, says, I can't make it through that situation there. We have situations come into our lives, don't we? And you may look at that situation and say, I have no idea how I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to have to find some other way to deal with this. I think of Carol, who's not here this morning. Look at the situation she's dealing with. She could look at that situation and say, why? How am I ever going to make it through this situation? Other individuals who have been through health situations here. Ernestine's, I see you hiding back there, has been through a serious health situation. Others as well. And you look at that situation, you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. And that's what Abram did. I'm going to find a way out. And instead of letting the Lord, he could have stayed. God could have supplied Abram's needs, even though there was a famine in the land. Again, a situation I thought about. Was it just Abram and Lot and Sarai and a few people? No, remember, he came out of the land and he was a well-to-do individual. They had flocks and sheep and livestock to deal with. That could have gotten him through. Maybe God had provided those riches or that wealth so that he could have made it through the famine in the land. And what would have been the circumstances if he had been able to stay in the land and survive the famine? He could have showed people how God had provided. Well, see what I'm saying? The possibilities that could have been there if he had just stayed where God had told him to go instead of making a move on his own.
Isn't that kind of like where, like, I know, a reminder I have for myself, we can worry about yesterday, or we can worry about next day, or we can concentrate on today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We need to follow what God has told us to do. So anyhow, so let's see what takes place as Abram decides to leave where he's at. And again, not trusting God to provide for him in the land that God had told him. So it came to pass when he came down near unto Egypt that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. There's a nice compliment, wives. Your husband says to you, man, you're beautiful. And Abram understood that. And here is the situation that he finds himself in that he probably didn't count on when he decided to go to Egypt. In other words, he stepped out of the place he was supposed to be, and now he's confronted with another situation, another problem. So he says, Sarah, you're beautiful. I understand that the people here in Egypt are polytheistic. In other words, they worship many gods. They're cruel. They're immoral. Polygamy runs rampant down here. Sexual immorality is widespread in this land. I just realized that I'm going to run into a jam when I get down here that if I say, well, let's read the next verse. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall say to thee, and remember, Egyptians here are descendants of Ham through Mizraim, not through Canaan, because the Canaanites mostly were up north, but still distant relatives, but he knows their past. He knows the way they are. He says, therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall say to thee, or when the Egyptians shall see you, they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So he understands that the region that he's walking into, that just because I and my wife walk into that land and she's a beautiful person, that the way to get her, because that's sounds like that's the normal thing down here, is off me. What kind of a place am I walking into, taking my wife and my relatives and everything that I own into a land? Oh, did I think this through before I made this decision to move? What am I getting myself into? Mm-hmm.
And it's clear. God doesn't say, well, you can make that simple decision. It's a situation that's really tough.
Yeah.
You always take the right way.
Uh-huh.
And if he had to do this with Sarah in order to survive down there, he should turn around.
Right. So let's discuss some of his options. His options, well, okay, so he's worried about them killing him to take her, and then he comes up with this deception. But here's some options. Okay, you know, I made it partway down here. I realize this is a bad decision. How about if I turn around and go back? What's the worst that can happen?
Get a little hungry.
I'm a little more hungry. I'm a little more wore out, but I'm still where God told me to be. You're right. He could have done that. He could have, when he entered the land, said, you know what? God said that he wants me to have children, that he is going to provide for me, that he's going to bless those who bless me and curse those that curse me. He could have taken a stand and said, God said he would provide and protect me, even though I made this decision. Maybe he doesn't realize it's a bad decision so far. And I'm going to make a stand, and God, you're going to need to protect me in this situation. Again, would have been a better circumstance than what he found, what he did, to what he found himself in. So either one, turning around and going back, I made a mistake, I'm going to correct that, or at least while I'm here in the situation I find myself in, that by the way I got myself into and shouldn't have, but I'm here, I'm still going to do what's right. So what did he say? He said, so I pray thee, verse 13, excuse me, thou art my sister, and it will be well with me, and for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So what's he saying here? He's saying, tell everybody that we're brother and sister. So often me doesn't do them any good, right? Because it doesn't necessarily free you up. You're already available. Is basically what he's saying, right? I see a bad situation coming here. They might take my life and then take you for whatever. And so in order to make this situation a little better, say you're my sister, which, by the way, she was partly. That's where the deception comes. So his decision is not do what's right and say you're my wife. I'm going to deceive these individuals and say you're my sister because I think that's the only way that I'm going to survive this situation that I got myself. See how the hole keeps getting deeper. And he doesn't get a ladder to climb out of the hole. He keeps digging this hole a little deeper. Yes. No, I don't think. Who knows? You mean that this because this took place? Yeah, possibly. God knew that this was going to take place. I don't know what God's plan is for timing. I know when. I mean, I don't know all the reasons. It's possible. Yeah, well, I'm sure that he loved his wife, and I'm sure that he didn't want any of this to take place, but he's thinking, if I'm your brother, they're going to treat me better, they're not going to kill me, and maybe it'll work out better for you and for me, because now when somebody wants you, they're going to have to approach me, because I'm the brother, you know, I can say yes, no, whatever, give permission, or whatever takes place. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But look, right. What is he thinking? But look at right. Yes. Again, he's gotten himself into this situation. He makes a bad decision, and then he makes another bad decision, and then he's deceiving people to cover up this decision. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and she's in the middle, and then she goes along with it, probably figuring, well, you got me down here, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyhow, so I guess if that's going to save your life, maybe that's worth the deception. I don't know. It doesn't tell us exactly what they're thinking, but we know what took place. Say you're my sister. Maybe that'll save me, and hopefully this turns out, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm.
But there's still consequences we have to face because of what we did wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Wait till we get through the story. We'll keep going. Okay. So it came to pass, verse 14, excuse me. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman and she was fair. Ha ha! I was right. They're all eyeballing my wife. They all want to take her for their own. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her commended her before Pharaoh. In other words, the princes of the land, those who had a little more clout than all the individuals in the land, noticed her and said, hey, we can get in good with the Pharaoh because she's a beautiful looking woman. If we say, hey, Pharaoh, look what we found for you. See what they're using her as... An asset, yeah, I'm going to pass this on to Pharaoh and I'm going to get in good. So they suggest this to Pharaoh. Now, we think of this as, or at least I think of when I read through here, sometimes that this happens, he walked in the land, this happened, that happened, that happened. It could have been several days, it could have been several weeks that they lived down there before this actually happened. So it's not necessarily an immediate thing that took place. So, what does Pharaoh do? The woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. So, at least from Abram's point of view, at least she's semi-safe, right? Because she's not out in public where anybody can get a hold of her. At least she's in Pharaoh's house for the time being. And verse 16. He, Pharaoh, treated Abram well for his sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and maidservants and camels. So what's going on here? Pharaoh has now got this woman that he's placed in his house and he knows that her brother is out here. And what's he doing? He's he's shoveling gifts over here to the brother, probably, as I want to marry her at some point. From Abram's point of view, or from an individual's point of view, it's looking like, wow, this is working out pretty good. Right? At least at this point in the game, this is working out pretty good so far. Sometimes we step outside of God's will and compromise, make bad decisions, and things still work out well, at least for the time being. Be careful that you don't take that as approval from God that you're doing what's right. We're going to continue our what goes on with Abram and Sarai and what takes place here and the consequences that are going to happen later on. Hopefully this is a challenge and encouragement to each one of us. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.